Well, good afternoon, everyone. How are all of you doing? Are we doing fine?
Yeah.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Truly is a beautiful Sabbath day today. Thank you for being here. I received a phone call from a good friend this week. And sometimes when we hear from our good friends, the calls are very happy ones. Sometimes they're not. In this case, it wasn't. Unfortunately, it was not a happy call. My friend has been struggling over the last several years to mend a fractured marriage, and he's basically coming to the end of his rope. He was in despair, and he was fighting to hold back tears. You could tell his voice was broken up. He came to the end, and he called me, of all people, for encouragement. I know sometimes we receive calls from friends or one another, and sometimes we don't hear the most positive of news, yet we're to bear another's burdens, and we're to be a source of hope and encouragement. It's not always an easy thing to do. But after the call, I couldn't help but take a little pause and think about the honor it is to be called a friend, an honor that someone would trust me with their innermost feelings, with their deepest hurts. And I just felt like it was truly a blessing that I had a friend. I had a friend that would be that would confide in me. And friends are indeed a blessing, particularly close friends. Now, maybe most of you have a lot of close friends. Maybe it's very easy for you to have friends. Maybe it's easy for you to share yourself with them. Maybe it's easy for them to share their triumphs and their pitfalls with you very easily. Perhaps that's something that you've learned over time, you learned very early. But a lot of us, making friends and being true friends to others is not something that comes easily. It's something that takes a lot of development, takes a lot of patience, and it certainly takes applying the law and the rules of the Bible and the rules of God to make that work. I mean, we all have to apply those to make it work. But wherever you're at in the game of making friends or having friends, if you're just working on it, maybe friends and friendships are in the point of where you're just developing them or just in the point of maintaining them, maybe you're an expert at it. But nevertheless, God's Word has a great deal to say about friendships. Today I'm going to skip over several and actually refer to several scriptures. I'm actually going to go through them rather rapidly, so if you just want to jot them down for later reference, it might be easier rather than looking them up as we go. But again, the Bible says so much about friendship, and we're just going to touch on a few of those concepts. The 18th chapter of Proverbs, verse 24 reads, and this should be a familiar scripture to us all, is that a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It describes that true friendship has true depth. Now, if we look in the Bible, one of the greatest examples of friends who stick closer than the brother is the relationship between David and Jonathan. And we can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and 20. But we see that Jonathan's loyalty and his relationship to David runs deeper than even his loyalty to his father Saul or even to his own ambitions. And the scriptures actually say that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. He loved him that much. And then we read in the first chapter of 2 Samuel about how tragedy befell the relationship, and Jonathan is then slain in battle. And there was this mournful song that David sings when he hears of Jonathan's death, and it just marked such a high point in their friendship. It was just a real testament to how deep their friendship was. And we also read in Ruth, the book of Ruth, how Ruth was so loyal to her mother, Naomi, that she followed her to her land. She said, "Let thy house be my house. You know, I will dwell with you, and your people will be my people." Strong loyalty. We read also in Proverbs 17:17 that a friend loves at all times. You know, friends are really loyal. Friends stick around in tough times. They endure the test of time, and they love at all times. In the New Testament, we see that Paul has a talent for gaining friends. In the book of Acts, Paul's friends include even the local officials in Asia, known as the Asiarchs. You can read that in the 19th chapter of Acts. And the Asiarchs were these prominent citizens. They were friendly to Rome, and they got this official title of Asiarchs as an honor in the community in which they lived. So, you know, Paul made friends with the locals, and the scripture seems to indicate that these folks were not necessarily in agreement with the doctrines that Paul preached, yet Paul considered them very good friends, good friends. So friendships may not necessarily require that you agree on everything. They may not believe the same things you do. But while friendship on the human level has its joys and consolations, it also has its dangers. The Bible warns that, you know, friends can be a wonderful thing. It can be a blessing from God. They can help you in your walk with God. But there are also things that can happen that can kind of detract you from that walk. In Deuteronomy 13, there's an example of how a friend can even lead one to worship other gods. They can lead you astray. They can confuse your mind. Proverbs contains many warnings about, you know, the dangers of bad company. You know, be careful who you have friends with and what they do and how they influence you. And even if a friend does not lead you astray, they can cause grief through misunderstanding. You know, we read all the things in Job. You know, Job had these three companions that were attempting to comfort him during his trial. And all they tried to be his friend, they only make his suffering worse. So sometimes misunderstandings and friendships can make things real difficult. There's also some examples in Proverbs about how friends may ask you to put yourself on the line for them. Specifically, in these cases, in Proverbs 6, verses 1 through 5, a friend may put one into debt by asking security for a loan. In other words, a friend can influence you to do more than you should, and you have to be careful about that. There's another example in Proverbs 17:9 that it says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." So friends can hold grudges and impede relationships. God gives us these warnings and many others in the Bible that allow us to make sure that we understand whether or not our friendships are leading us to a closer relationship with God or if they're leading us to something that departs from it. You know, friends need to be able to keep our confidence. They need to be able to maintain secrecy in the right times. Friends forgive. So when we talk about true friendship, we see friendship is grounded in mutual respect. It's grounded in love. It's grounded in honesty and faithfulness. It's a really key verse in Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, friends are willing to tell the truth. They may be able to tell you things you don't really want to hear, but are necessary for your well-being. You know, as friends can be a friend to another person, so can one be a friend of God. You know, Abraham is given the title of friend of God, and he's done so because of his faith and obedience. We read about that in the second chapter of James, verse 23. But by contrast, one can be a friend of the world, which excludes the possibility of friendship with God. So friendships require a choice. Who are you going to be loyal to? And what are you going to be loyal to? And it makes a significant difference on the friendships you form and the success of those friendships. But it does require us to take a stand for the right thing. It requires us to take a stand for what we believe in. It requires us to take a stand for our friends to help them as well. Also, we see in all throughout the New Testament about Christ addressing his disciples as friends. And he gave them instructions, "You are my friends if you do what I command." And he affectionately commanded that we love one another. There's a testament in our friendship that needs to exist that gives evidence that we love Christ. And our friendships and how we act in them is very important to reflect that. Paul in the New Testament also expressed his loyalty an affectionate relationship when he refers to or addresses several individuals with the language of family love. He speaks to Timothy and Titus as his true sons. He spoke to Timothy in another scripture as his beloved son. Onesimus, is not only Paul's son, but Paul refers to him as his very heart. Strong bonds, strong friendships in the Bible. Earlier we read the first part of Proverbs 18, verse 24. It says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly." And what it means is that to have friends, we must be capable of being a friend. The Bible shows us how to do that. And God gives us the tools and the path to everlasting friendships. And I'm just touching on a few scriptures. There's so many more. You know, scriptures show that friends are loyal. They love at all times. Friends encourage and reinforce our walk with God. Friends are honest, and they will cultivate and grow mutual love and respect. You know, earlier I talked about my friend's phone call, and I had to think back, because my friend's been married for 17 years, him and his wife. They have three beautiful children, and they used to be the best of friends. You know, friendship is the backbone of marriage. It's the backbone of all of our relationships. It's the backbone of our relationship with God, God explains how he has that relationship with us and Christ by us walking in those paths. But there's a relationship there that got fractured, not only the relationship of marriage, that's the next step past friendship, but the friendship actually got fractured as well. And again, it wasn't always that way. And if you consider God's principles in the Bible, you know, God's ways are not the ways of failure. You know, we read about how to be friends. We read about what it takes to love one another. We read about what it takes to grow in affection to God. And we are given the blueprint for success. And when I'm talking with my friend about all the things that they've endured, it's just so much clearer to me how if they both were willing to be able to follow these steps, they would not be in the predicament they were in or are in. Because God's ways works. God's ways are excellent. God's ways are perfect. The question is whether or not we actually take them and employ them according to what he asks. I mean, are we willing to actually do it? Because it's a pattern of success. Good fruit is inevitable. Friendships are inevitable. Strong friendships, the ability to love, the ability to care, all come from this. All come from the words in the Bible and actually applying them in our lives. And it works. It's perfection. So I encourage us all not to fail in our relationships. I don't know where you are with all of your friends. I know for me, I don't have a great number of friends. I could use more. I'm not going to pick on any of you particularly. Try not to. But the ability to love and the ability to have friends speaks volumes about the ability to be able to reflect Christ's love in us. So I encourage everyone to, if they're in the middle of making friends, make them closer, make more friends, try harder. And you will see that by applying God's rules, the positive and inevitable results of his will and his way will provide blessings in your life. So, brethren, we have so much to be thankful for. We have much to give God thanks for in everything. And let's also give thanks, God, for the blessing and the honor of being able to have relationships as friends in our lives.